This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with bolt cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now, however, we're going to get a little smarter. Our guy J.I. Halsell is on the line. I'm guessing he's out in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. J.I., what up, dude?
What's going on, fellas? I am out here in beautiful Arizona.
Yeah, you out there with all that good weather, man.
Yeah, we're just
Don't rub it in.
That's right. That's right.
Don't rub it in.
It's going to be 79 degrees and sunny today.
Yeah, talk to me in August.
I don't even mind it.
It'll be 115 and I'll be in a nice pool.
Dude, after finally experiencing the dry heat, I don't mind it. I'm cool with it.
But man, we had hell with that stuff out there when we were there.
Dude, I liked that better than the humidity in Tampa. Anyway.
All day long.
All right, J.I., I texted you yesterday to talk about this Debo restructure for the Commanders. And more information has come out. Basically, they were going to have to pay him this $15 million roster bonus. So they kind of converted it to a little bit more guaranteed money. And it allows them to get completely out of the deal at the end of this season. You know, with what we know now, it kind of looks like this is actually to Washington's advantage.
Yeah, I think, I haven't seen the details, but I know he was in the final year of his deal anyway. Without having seen the details, if there are voidable years added on there to try to reduce the cap number, because otherwise he was already on a one-year deal coming to Washington. So the only reason why you would guarantee some of the existing compensation would be to get some of that cap relief. And then you add some incentives in there to try to make them motivated so that maybe down the road this season you end up with a contract extension. But either way, from a cap management standpoint, they felt like the contract that they traded for from San Francisco required some revising to make it better for their cap management purposes.
I think that kind of adds up to me. Yeah. What do you think about where Washington is salary cap-wise as far as if another move was to come?
I think that they're in great shape. And look, it's a copycat league, right? And so when you see how the Philadelphia Eagles manage their cap, and it seems like they've got just this ability, even with a starting quarterback contract on their books, to still be able to go sign guys and extend guys, the key to at least their approach has been to do what I just said, adding these voidable years so that you can prorate the guaranteed money out as far as you can, which then reduces the cap numbers, which then allows for you to, acquire more talent. And so when you think about layering that onto Washington, it's the same approach. They're in great space from a cap space standpoint, but you don't want to kind of use all of your cap allocations on particular players. So if you can kind of manage the cap where you expand out those cap hits, then it allows just for you to have more flexibility. It allows for you to go get more guys. It allows for you, quite honestly, to make your current roster the Terry McLaurins, who are going into the final year of their contracts, as an example, you know, happy by getting extensions done. So it's a long-winded way of saying that they're in a great space whereby if they do it the right way, they can kind of keep this momentum going moving forward.
Jay, are there any downsides to those type of things, those voidable years that are pushed out?
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, so let's use the Eagles as an example, right? The gamble, and it's a little bit of a measured gamble, is as long as you hit on more of those extensions, more of those contracts where you've pushed, you know, year cap allocations into the future, if you hit on more of those and you miss, then you're going to be fine because it's going to lead to wins. It's going to lead to a better roster. For example, in the Philadelphia example, they were able to miss on a Carson Wentz extension, as an example. Like, they gave the kid an extension, didn't work out, but yet they've still been able to move on because they were able to get other guys extended early, guys like Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. And you look at how they've managed their receiver position versus how Cincinnati's measured theirs, you know, there's a stark difference. It becomes way more expensive when you don't do it that way, as an example. But there is, yes, a risk that if you do miss on a contract extension or a contract that you put voidable years in, that you're going to have to live with some dead money for guys that you miss on.
Well, dude, it's funny with the Cincinnati thing you mentioned, because obviously they waited a year and then had to pay way more, a much higher freight, right? But Do you think they could still afford to figure things out with Trey Hendrickson?
Look, I say this all the time. There are always ways to make the contract structure fit your cap situation. Now, the biggest challenge that Cincinnati has isn't really cap management. It's more cash flow. They're not a cash-rich team, right? And so it requires them to do certain things from a structure standpoint that a team like, say, the Dallas Cowboys that are cash-rich, and even though they don't act like it, you know, they don't have to do. So to your Trey Hendrickson question, yeah, there's a way to structure a contract to fit within their cap considerations and bring him back at a number that makes sense for him and makes sense for the Cincinnati Bengals and a structure that makes sense for the Cincinnati Bengals. They just have to have a willingness to do it.
See, we want Washington to construct a contract.
Yeah, exactly.
Not Cincinnati.
Yo, this is premature, right? I mean, we're talking whatever it is, 2 years away. Ryan and I have just had, like, fun conversations about what we think the number will be for Jaden Daniels when he becomes eligible for an extension.
Yeah.
And we're trying to extrapolate salary cap. I mean, we're trying to extrapolate a lot, right?
Yeah.
What do you think that deal looks like?
I don't know that he, you know, I think the magic question is, does he have a chance to be the first $100 million per year quarterback, right? And it really kind of just depends upon, without getting into all the details, the kind of way you value these deals, you know, new money average per year versus, you know, the true average per year from the day he signs the deal. That aside, while the cap is growing exponentially year over year, right? I don't know that he gets to 100. Could he get to 90? I think 90 is very plausible. And again, 90 is not the end-all, be-all metric, or average per year is not the end-all, be-all metric on these deals. It's really, you know, what's guaranteed at signing and all those pieces. But I think there's a chance that he gets to 90 after year three. And obviously, they would be very smart to, assuming he continues to play at a high level here in year two and into year three, very smart to get him extended as soon as he is eligible after his third year.
Wow.
Man, listen, I'm born too soon, man. A little pissed off here, J.I. But, hey, J., like, what would something look like Terry? You know, Terry doesn't cause a lot of issues and things like that.
Right.
If he was to get an extension, how would that look?
Yeah. I think his magic number, like, you see a guy like Chris Godwin in Tampa, great locker room guy, just like Terry, super productive for the Bucs before obviously having a dislocated ankle this season. And Godwin got like $24 million per year. I think Terry's probably in that same ballpark where it's probably in the mid-20s, $25 million per year, because he is going into his age 30 season. you know, so he's, I don't think he's going to break the bank and be in excess of $30 million per year, but I think he is a $25 million per year guy, not too different than the deal Chris Godwin signed with the Bucks.
You don't think the DK deal changes that, though?
DK's deal is technically $24 million per year, not $30
million. Oh.
So it further supports the notion that Terry's a $25 million per year wide receiver.
Okay.
Let me ask you, J.I., Terry came into the league, he was almost 24, 25 at that point. And when he hits 30, that's a lot less than a guy coming to the league at 21 hitting 30. Do they ever look at that type of deal?
In terms of just kind of the wear and tear, like he's only got like 6 or 7 years of wear and tear versus
a
21-year-old at the same age is going to have 9 years of wear and tear.
Yeah, because when they look at the number, age, and I think the wear and tear in the NFL is a world of difference. If you've been in it for 6, 7 years, or you've been in it for 9, 10 years.
I think, you know, regardless of kind of what age they were when they came into the league, I think it's really, well, have they shown an ability to stay healthy, right? Have they been available? And obviously when they've been available, have they been productive? And then when we think about our internal scouting and when we think about our training staff, do we project Terry McLaurin to still continue to be able to play at a high level into his age 30, 31, 32 seasons? And if we're all in agreement that, yeah, it looks great from a trajectory standpoint, then, yeah, we are willing to pay him $25 million per year, and let's just say it's a three-year extension, and maybe, you know, we'll guarantee $50 million of the $75. But all of those things do play into kind of the risk mitigation, risk management part of crafting a contract extension for one of your core members of the team.
So much going on. What do you think happens with Micah in Dallas?
Oh, I mean, the weekend Myles Garrett and Max Crosby got those edge contracts. I mean, that was a great weekend for Micah Parsons, and he is keenly aware of it. He's on top of these things. So, I mean, Micah is going to end up being like a $45 million per year guy. At least he should be. Now, the way Dallas has managed their cap and done their contracts as of late, it's going to be interesting to see how that one plays out. But if we're talking about where the market is now for edge players, I think the two markets that have grown a lot over the past 10 days or so is that edge market and the cornerback market. So Micah should be a happy guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Jay, I appreciate you, man. Who you got?
Appreciate you, brother, man.
Who you got winning the title?
In the tournament?
Yeah.
It pains me to say, but I got Duke. And I think, look, Auburn's really, really good. And I think Jonai is really, really good for them. But I'm going to go with Duke.
Duke's good, man. I don't like saying it either.
Yeah.
Yo, thank you for the time, man. I really appreciate it.
All right, Jay, I appreciate you, brother.
Hey, appreciate you guys.
All right. J.I. Hallsell, give him a follow at SalaryCap101. Going to get you some tournament updates. Phone lines open in 15 minutes. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.